Blog Talk Radio.
As we love the Lord. The Lord says, you know, you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't obey me. You don't do what I tell you to do. Don't allow others to influence you. If you have something to say from the Lord, if they do not like it, if they get offended, even if you've got where you have a group or anything, they're coming and they don't come back.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier. Just a little foretaste of what we're going to talk about today. It is a day-breaking news day. There's no doubt about it. Everywhere from bridges collapsing in Italy and all kinds of investigative cases going on in the United States. There was terrorism in London near Parliament today. And the craziest case of all, and I do mean the most insane case, is coming right out of the United States, New Mexico, where five jihadi radical Islamic terrorists had a training camp where they were training children for school shootings, were surrounded by police, taken into custody, and today are being released without having to pay a penny for what they call signature bail. I mean, it's absolutely outrageous. This Democratic judge who once sat on the bench in San Francisco made this ruling. We'll see what happens. But on and on it goes, from Omarosa to the firing of the FBI to the calling out of Jeff Sessions. It is a crazy, crazy moment. But listen to this. This came from a friend yesterday.
Hello, everyone. Today is Monday, August 13th, 2018. And we are moving right along into August, and I thank you all for joining me on Servant's Heart. I'm coming to you very quickly, rather. I want to give you a word that I heard from the Lord. It's just very simple, and then you can take it to the Lord, and you can pray about it, pray over it. Okay, all day long, this is a now word. All day long, I've been hearing death, death, death. That's all I've heard all day long. It just came into my spirit. Finally, around 2 o'clock today, give or take a few minutes, I heard death, death and persecution at the door. Okay, death and persecution at the door then. I then heard the Spirit say, tell my children, I'm going to read this, tell my children, gather round, don't delay, meditate, and set your sights on me, your Lord, your Savior. Don't forsake coming together. Now, that was emphasized, don't forsake yourself coming together now before your freedoms are taken from you. And then I heard the Lord say, death is coming and has now come, my people, and to the children. So death is coming to us, or some of us, and to the children. Persecution is at the door for the United States. It will not be a false flag, that was emphasized. There will be no actors. Many will face prisons, thrown underground in tunnels, and chained inside boxcars. Families will be separated. Men, women, children. Gather now together while you can. Help each other. Darkness will soon fall. And actually, he's also here talking about a spiritual darkness, more so than we can ever imagine what's going on now. He continued, I therefore lay before you life, physical, death, spiritual. Which one do you choose? Gather round, oh, gather round. Make the most of the time that you have left. Meditate, search, rightly dividing the word of God. Keep it in your heart. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And lo, this is how he ended it. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end. Gather now, make your plans, make your plans. You do not have much longer, and you do not yet understand the velocity of what is coming. Now, and that was the end of the word.
All right, that's where I'm going to stop right now. You could get the rest of that online. We could send that out to you if you'd like to do it, but I'd like to move forward. And this was sent to me from another dear friend. It was a prophecy that was given by a 90-year-old woman in Norway 42 years ago about events leading up to the second coming of Christ. So there may be a little music in the background because I'm reading this off of a teleprompter, if you will. And so here we go. I'm going to share this out, and let's see how far we can get with this. An evangelist by the name of Emmanuel Minios wrote this prophecy down in 1968 and thought it was so extreme that he put it away. He recently reviewed the prophecy and was amazed that it is not extreme anymore, but the norm in our society. An old woman of 90 from Valdres in Norway had a vision from God in 1968. The evangelist Emmanuel Minios had meetings where she lived. He had the opportunity to meet her, and she told him what she had seen. He wrote it down, but thought it to be so unintelligible that he put it in a drawer. Now, almost 30 years later, he understands he has to share the vision with others. The woman from Valdres was a very alert, reliable, awake, incredible Christian with a good reputation among all who knew her. This is what she saw. I saw the time just before the coming of Jesus and the outbreak of the Third World War. I saw the events with my natural eyes. I saw the world like a kind of a globe and saw Europe land by land. I saw Scandinavia. I saw Norway. I saw certain things that would take place just before the return of Jesus and just before the last calamity happens. A calamity the likes of which we have never before experienced. Number one, first before Jesus comes and before the Third World War breaks out, there will be a détente like we have never had before. There will be peace between the superpowers in the East and the West, and there will be a long peace. Now remember that this was in 1968 when the Cold War was at its highest. In this period of peace, there will be disarmament in many countries, also in Norway, and we are not prepared when the war comes. The Third World War will begin in a way no one would have anticipated and from an unexpected place. Number two, a lukewarmness without parallel will take hold of the Christians, a falling away from true living Christianity. Christians will not be open for penetrating preaching. They will not, like in earlier times, want to hear of sin and grace, law and gospel, repentance and restoration. There will come a substitute instead, prosperity, happiness, Christianity. The important thing will be to have success, to be something, to have material things, things that God never promised us in this way. Churches and prayer houses will be emptier and emptier instead of the preaching we have been used to for generations, like to take your cross up and follow Jesus. Entertainment, art, and culture will invade the churches where there should have been gatherings for repentance and revival. This will increase markedly just before the return of Jesus. Number three, there will be a moral disintegration that old Norway has never experienced the likes of. People will live together like married without being married. Now, a comment, I do not believe the concept of cohabitor existed in 1968, much uncleanness before marriage. And much infidelity in marriage will become the natural, the common, and it will be justified from every angle. It will even enter Christian circles, and we pet it, even sin against nature. Just before Jesus returns, there will be TV programs like we have never experienced. TV had just arrived in Norway in 1968. TV will be filled with such horrible violence that it teaches people to murder and destroy each other, and it will be unsafe in our streets. TV will be filled with such horrible violence that it teaches people to murder and destroy each other, and it will be unsafe in our streets, she repeated. She did not know the word channel, which we use today, therefore she called them stations. TV will be just like the radio, where we have many stations, and it will be filled with violence. People will use it for entertainment. We will see terrible scenes of murder and destruction, one or the other, and this will spread in society. Sex scenes will also be shown on the screen, the most intimate things that takes place in a marriage. I protested and said, we have a paragraph that forbids this kind of thing. This is what Edward Mignot said. So she continues, there the old woman said, it will happen and you will see it. All we have had before will be broken down, and the most indecent things will pass before our eyes. Number four, people from poor countries will stream to Europe. In 1968, there was no such thing as immigration. They will also come to Scandinavia and Norway. There will be so many of them that people will begin to dislike them and become hard with them. They will be treated like the Jews before the Second World War. Then the full measure of our sins will have been reached. I did not understand it at the time, said Edward Mignot about immigration. Now she continues, the tears stream from the old woman's eye down her cheeks. I will not see it, but you will, she said. Then suddenly Jesus will come and the Third World War breaks out. It will be a short war. She saw it in the vision. All that I have seen of war before is only child's play compared to this one, and it will be ended with a nuclear atom bomb. The air will be so polluted that one cannot draw one's breath. It will cover several continents, America, Japan, Australia, and the wealthy nations. The water will be ruined and contaminated. We can no longer till the soil. The result will be that only a remnant will remain. The remnant in the wealthy countries will try to flee to the poor countries, but they will be as hard on us as we were on them. I am so glad that I will not see it, but when the time draws near, you must take courage and tell this. I have received it from God, and nothing of it goes against what the Bible tells. The one who has his sin forgiven and has Jesus as Savior and Lord is safe. That was the prophecy that was given by a 90-year-old woman from Norway. Sounds very much like Dimitri Dudeman from Romania. And so there are witnesses and witness after witness after witness of these things that are taking place. Let's get to a couple of articles that are going on in our world today. Antifa, Democratic Socialist, and the New World Order. No matter how globalism is repackaged, it always smells the same way in the end. For decades, the globalists have subtly, or sometimes not so subtly, been moving us toward a world in which national borders have essentially been made meaningless. The ultimate goal, of course, is to merge all the nations of the world into a one-world socialist utopia with a global government, a global economic system, and even a global religion. The European Union is a model for what the elite hope to achieve eventually on a global scale. The individual nations still exist, but once inside the European Union, you could travel wherever you want. Economic rules have been standardized across the Union, and European institutions now have far more power than the national governments. Liberty and freedom have been greatly restricted for the common good, and a giant horde of nameless, faceless bureaucrats constantly micromanages the details of daily life down to the finest details. With each passing day, the EU becomes more Orwellian in nature, and that is why so many in Europe are completely fed up with it. Unfortunately, this is precisely what Antifa and Democratic Socialists and others on the radical left want to bring to America. Our high schools and colleges have become hotbeds for progressive beliefs, and they are producing millions of young people that have completely and utterly bought into the globalist program. A lot of older Americans simply do not understand that many of these young people want to do away with the United States entirely. To many of us, such a notion is unthinkable. But the idea that the U.S. Constitution and the U.S. government should be done away with is really starting to catch fire among certain circles. For example, on Sunday, just a couple of days ago, Antifa activists were boldly chanting, "No border, no wall, no USA at all." No border, no wall, no USA at all. Open border protesters and members of the left-wing anarchist group Antifa chanted "Death to America" during a counter-protest in Washington, D.C. on Sunday. In a video by Breitbart News, Ian Mason, Antifa members and open border activists can be heard and seen marching down streets throughout Washington, D.C., demanding an end to the United States. No border, no wall, no USA at all, Antifa and open border activists chanted. This is what they actually want. They want a world without national borders. They want a world in which the United States has been absorbed into a global socialist entity. And as far as Antifa is concerned, they would be happy to achieve this goal by peaceful means, but they have also publicly embraced violence if that is what is necessary. So on Sunday, Antifa demonstrators in D.C. were also openly advocating the overthrow of the United States government. Antifa and other left-wing groups gathered at Freedom Plaza in downtown Washington, D.C. on Sunday, carrying signs that reveal one message loud and clear: remove racist President Donald Trump and Vice President Mike Pence from office and overthrow the United States government. Well, people passed out Trump Pence must go stickers and carried signs and banners displaying anti-Trump slogans, including drive out Trump Pence fascist regime. Well, you could see some of the protest signs that demonstrators were displaying everywhere. And of course, Antifa represents a relatively small but growing portion of the overall population. But a movement that represents a whole lot more people is the Democratic Socialist. Thanks to her recent stunning victory in New York, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has become their new standard bearer, and she is publicly calling for the abolition of ICE. Democratic New York congressional candidate Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez explained her belief that abolishing the Immigration Customs Enforcement, ICE, agency is common sense during an interview on CNN with John Berman on Thursday morning. Here's what she said. "I think now we're starting to realize that ICE, part of that suite of legislation, has a structure that allows for civil rights and human rights abuses," Ocasio-Cortez stated. "And you know, it may seem like a radical position, but I actually think it is very, very common sense. You know, we should not be separating children from their families," end of quote. "But if we don't have anyone enforcing or protecting our borders, then it would essentially mean that we don't have any borders at all. And that is precisely what they want. For Democratic Socialists like Ocasio-Cortez, a lack of money is never a concern. They believe that we can completely open up our borders and allow millions upon millions of new immigrants to come pouring in, and that we can also afford to provide free health care, free college education, free basic housing, and a whole host of other social benefits to them and to everyone else that is already living here." And I digress just for a moment and talk about the five jihadi Islamic radical terrorists that have a camp in New Mexico that they were just busted yesterday, and they were found teaching the children about how to do school shootings. They were armed. It was a nightmare scenario. And today they're getting out on signature bail. People that have vowed to kill the Americans, and here they are. But this radical leftist judge has pardoned them, except for one who had a warrant in Georgia, I think it was. He'll be staying for a couple more days probably in jail to get that worked out. But they're being released because the judge actually said that to teach the children how to kill and do school shootings is their religious right. That's what she told them. It is their religious right. And if that's what Muslims believe, Well, here you go. And even though, let me go back to the story here, even though we are already $21 trillion in debt, somehow we supposedly have the resources necessary to pay for all of this. I know all of this sounds crazy, but this is what they want, and they are passionate about getting it. Today, the radical left completely dominates our system of public education, and that is why so many of our young people have become radical leftists. And many of these true believers openly talk about a revolution in the United States. Even big stars such as Michael Moore are speaking about a real insurgency these days. In his new film, Moore claims that Donald Trump will be the last president of the United States, but he doesn't give any specific details. So what exactly did Moore mean by that? Somebody needs to ask him that question. Sadly, these leftists ultimately don't want more liberty and freedom. Instead, they want a world they can transform into their own image. They want a world where free speech is highly censored on the internet, where your money is taken and redistributed to someone else, and where even the smallest details of your daily life are micromanaged, quote unquote, for the good of humanity. Ultimately, what they crave is tyranny. They better be careful what they wish for, because someday they might end up getting it. Well, while things are going on here, this is a crazy workout schedule in the United States. How many of you go to Planet Fitness? Planet Fitness, it's riddled throughout the country. Well, Planet Fitness on the front lines of the gender wars. How do you describe something that is beyond ridiculous, beyond absurd? How do you paint a picture of something that is so upside down that it defies logic and reason? Well, let me give it my best shot. Not a word here is exaggerated or made up. In 1997, a woman whom we'll call Mrs. H was jogging when a man jumped out of the woods, tried to rape her. She was able to fight him off and ran for her life, bruised and cut on the outside and deeply traumatized on the inside. Police were called. Trained dogs searched the area. Helicopters came in to aid the search. Who can imagine the lasting pain of an incident like this? Well, then, earlier this year, Mrs. H went to her local Planet Fitness to work out, as she does most days of the week. But when she went into the locker room to change, there was a young man standing there putting on makeup as he looked in the mirror. Thinking he had walked into the wrong locker room by mistake, Mrs. H asked him why he was there, pointing out that he was a man, but was in the women's changing area. He did not reply. So Mrs. H went to talk to the manager, who informed her that this man identified as a woman, and by Planet Fitness policy, he was allowed to use the ladies' locker room. When she explained that she was not comfortable changing in the presence of a man, her locker was 2 feet from where he was standing, she was told she would have to wait. Mrs. H waited for roughly an hour. Think of waiting for 1 hour to use a locker room. But when she went back, he was still inside. She asked him, "How long will you be here?" But again, he didn't reply. She then explained that she was not comfortable changing in his presence, just as she wouldn't be comfortable changing in the presence of her 4 sons. So it was nothing personal against him. It was a simple male-female privacy issue. And who uses a Planet Fitness locker room to put on makeup for more than an hour? Just then, one of the female employees told her she had better leave, lest she get in trouble. When Mrs. H asked why, the female employee said she had been saying things. Oh, what a terrible crime. Somehow she had become the offender. Not wanting to create a scene, Mrs. H left quickly, only to be followed by the man who was on the phone. He had called 911 claiming that he had been sexually harassed, making this up. He was trying to give a description of Mrs. H, his harasser, to the 911 operator. But when she saw she was being followed, she began to run and began to run, and he began to run after her. 20 years earlier, she was running from an attempted rapist. Now she was running from a man who invaded the woman's locker room and was accusing her of sexual harassment. Yet it gets worse. She immediately received a letter in the mail from Planet Fitness telling her that her membership was revoked. Yes, her membership was revoked. For what transgression? She was guilty of lunking. Yes, that was the term used by Planet Fitness. And what exactly does lunking include? Well, you can't make grunting noises when you work out. You can drop weights, and you can't judge. Mrs. H was guilty of judging. Imagine that. Lunking. You can't make grunting noises when you work out at Planet Fitness. You can't go, ugh! And you can't drop weights. And you can't judge. But Mrs. H was guilty of judging. So severe was her crime that she was informed that she had been banned from 66 Planet Fitness branches. Banned. Did I tell you this was beyond ridiculous? But it gets more absurd still. According to an article on the LGBTQ Nation website, Mrs. H is the culprit and the young man is the victim. As the headline proclaims, a CIS woman got banned from a gym for insulting a trans woman. She thinks she's the victim. Oh, this poor deluded woman. How could she possibly think that she was the victim? Well, thankfully, Mrs. H had the presence of mind to call Liberty Counsel, even before she got the letter from Planet Fitness. And as Matt Staver, Liberty Counsel's founder and chairman, explained on my radio show, Planet Fitness could well be guilty of consumer fraud. That's because the written agreement signed by their patron states that there are locker rooms for men and for women. It does not say a word about a man who identifies as a woman being able to use the women's locker room. Yet Planet Fitness has now stated that this is indeed their policy, contrary to their written contractual agreement. I urge every single person and patron of Planet Fitness, both female and male, to ask the manager at your gym if a man who identifies as a woman can use the woman's locker room. If the manager says yes, ask him or her to please show you this on the contract you signed. And let's be candid here. If a contract says that there are separate locker rooms for men and women, it's understood that we're talking biology. Who cares how the person identifies? Females don't expect to change in the presence of males. Simple. Remember also that many men who identify as women are still attracted to women. And if the manager says that their new policy allows people to use the locker room that corresponds with their gender identity, point out to them that this is not what their contract says, and then inform them that if they will allow males in the women's locker room, you will have to cancel your membership. Then document what happened, send the information to Liberty Counsel. I also encourage you to share this article with all your friends as well. Now, the good news is that the Michigan Court of Appeals recently ruled against Planet Fitness in an almost identical case. As reported on the club industry website, a Planet Fitness health club misled an ex-member by failing to fully explain its transgender-inclusive locker room policies when she signed a membership contract in 2015. The Michigan Court of Appeals ruled on July 26. So there is a little sanity left in this world after all. Let's do our best to keep it that way. So there you have it. I mean, just insane, crazy stuff going on in the world today. And we could go on about the new laws, the new religious laws in China that'll blow your mind, or how that Hamas is jealous of Hezbollah in the Middle East, and how terrorism is growing around the world. Once again, waking up this morning, the parliament in London, a man 20 years old or so, took a vehicle and drove into pedestrians and bicyclists, and has not been cooperating. 20 some odd people dead in a collapsed bridge in Italy. Things are ramping up here at home as President Donald Trump called Omarosa a dog. The president just doesn't care, and that's all there is to it. And he calls people low-life dogs. I guess he really means it and feels it. But what a betrayal. We have to learn to handle our betrayals if we're born again, spirit-filled Christians, and we need to learn to do some things. But what an amazing moment. But here is the trickiest part. This was on Sunday. I read this on Sunday to our church, and it had been a while since I had been bringing things like this out. But my beloved wife, Patricia, said something to me. Saturday night, I believe it was. And when I woke up Sunday morning, I found this, and it's something that was written a while back. And she said, boy, it's the calm before the storm. So on Sunday, I read this to the church. There is a perfect storm brewing over the nation. There are two major fronts growing in power over the nation, and are coming together as one mighty storm of violence. These two major fronts are Islam and communism. Now, when you think about the articles about the Antifa, the socialists, it's all communistic in nature. It's a background of communism. And then when you think about the jihadi violent terrorists that are just waiting for their moment to pounce, and then we see that they're training even little kids on how to kill people in school shootings. Well, these are the two major fronts. There is a final call in this writing to the residents of California as they are now enjoying the calm before the storm. This was written years ago. While people are enjoying the fair weather and the relative peace, they have not understood this moment was designed for them to mobilize and reposition themselves. However, the majority are simply looking at this time as being for their own pleasure. Well, just as two seas meet and cause great upheaval, so these two fronts are going to form and produce a massive tidal wave of destruction. And then something else I read at church on Sunday. It was interesting to me that they have named the fire in the Lake Elsinore area Holy Fire. They literally call it the Holy Fire because of a man's name in a canyon that had to do with Holy Jim or something like that. And I have the article written out, and I read this. It's all a fact. But this is called the Holy Fire. And I remembered that many years ago, God gave me some prophetic words about Holy Fire. And these are the words that I found. Holy Fire. I am bringing my holy fire to the earth, says the Lord. I am going to cleanse the earth from its disease. I am going to melt the firmament of wretchedness and cleanse the airways from all deceit. I sent my son into the world to save the world, and through the shedding of his blood, he has purchased the whole earth and all of the created universe and all things in the invisible realms too. My son is the all ruler. As the only true potentate, he has the right to gather the wheat into his barn and bind the tares and cast them into the fire. He has the right to send holy fire into the earth to cleanse the earth, to melt away the dross from the earth, and to cleanse the earth of its plague. A fire has been prepared for the devil and his angels, wherein the false prophet and the beast shall be cast into, along with all those whose names are not found in the book of life. This lake of fire is not a purging fire, but a fire of everlasting judgment upon those who have refused my gift of eternal salvation. There is a lake burning with fire and brimstone that will house the souls of men forever. Beware. And then on November 11th, 2006, I wrote these words, a time for holy fire. The chariots have come upon the land, and the sound of their wheels will grow louder and louder as the days go by. Soon, very soon, a wailing noise will shake the foundations of the false foundation that multiplied millions have built their lives upon. The sandy foundation of a false gospel is about to collapse, and the walls called salvation are about to be blown down. The Lord mocks those who have fallen. And I quote Proverbs chapter 1, verses 24 to 31, because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all of my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes, when your fear comes as desolation and your destruction comes as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore, shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Prophecy continued. I am going to blow down the walls of false security and reveal the nakedness and shame that has been hid behind them. I have begun America and church in America. I have already begun to expose your shame as I said I would. Boy, I tell you what, this was written in 2006. Here we are 12 years down the road, and there's a lot of exposure going on. I gave you time to repent, but you would not. Now your leaders are being exposed as sodomites and lesbians. The rulers of America are women and not men. The leaders of the Christian church are hirelings and not true shepherds, for they care nothing for my flock. They have fleeced the flock and raped the children. They have taken the best for themselves and have caused my people to faint in the way and walk about with little. I will bring planes down with the great evangelist in them. I will blow so hard upon the wall that those who daubed it and those who are hid behind it shall become a prey to the wild beast in the field. A great devouring shall take place around the nation of America, and the Christian leadership will grope for excuses to protect their ministries. But I will blow with such strength that no excuses will be found. The devastation that I am bringing upon the Laodicean church in America is going to be great. Your churches are full of people who have no genuine salvation. You have within your walls fornicators, gossipers, slanderers, wolves dressed in sheep's clothing, waiting for their opportunity to devour the sheep. You have adulterers and homosexuals and lesbians within your gates, and liars and thieves. You are filled with hypocrites, and yet in the midst of this rank condition, the shepherds cry, peace, peace. They have lied to a people who love to hear lies. In the midst of such horrible and detestable abominations are another kind of people, a people who are afflicted and mourn and are wounded by the condition of my house. Oh, I will cleanse it. I will purge my house, and I will send my holy into its gates and will consume the works of the enemy and deliver my people out of the hands of those who have ruled them in passivity and seduction. I will tear away the admiration of shepherds and elders within the walls of my house and will cause their names to become a proverb among my people. I will confront the soothsayers within my church that desire to comfort and bless what I have disturbed and cursed. Come out of her, my people. I have prepared habitations. The church in America is sick. It has been grievously wounded, and I am bringing a medicine into it that will surely heal its woundedness. I am sending fire. I am sending holy fire, says the Lord, to purify the house. The false prophets have lied to the people. They have seduced them into a belief that is not true, and indeed they have believed the lie. Oh, how feeble are your men. Oh, how well your women have taken the reins within my church. You have heard for so long the heart of a mother, but you have not listened to the voice of the fathers. Well, where are your fathers, O America? Where are your fathers, O church in America? They are lying in the bed of Jezebel, slain and wounded that they cannot rise. Where are your fathers, church in America? In bed with homosexuals, using drugs, committing fornication, bowing to images. That is where they are. They are bound up with filthy mammon, trapped in the snares of adulteresses. What has become of the children? They are exposed and vulnerable. Yet the false shepherds say to the sinners in Zion, fear not, everything is going to be all right. This abomination will be dealt with severely. Now I will continue to contend with the prophets who have prophesied lies in my name. They say that God will not allow disaster to hit America. This is back in 2006, ladies and gentlemen. Tell the false prophets, I have already begun to withdraw my hand from the nation. Tell them to open their eyes and see the eastern seaboard cities that were struck by my furious storm. Tell them to go to Oklahoma and see the memorials of hundreds of men, women, and children who died in a minute. Tell them to go stand in the space where the two tallest buildings in the world once stood. Ask the false prophets of their agenda. Ask them if they have spoken a sanctifying word to the sinners in Zion. I am ready to contend. Unsheathe your swords, and I will release my glittering spear. Speak your words, and I will loose my voice of many waters, and it shall flood the earth with righteousness and justice. I am ready, says the Lord. I am ready to contend. Now I will rip the cover off and expose everything that has been hidden in the darkness. And what does God say to his people? Put away your emotion, for you are about to go through a midnight season. Put away your tears, for the time has come for 1,000 to fall at your side and 10,000 at your left hand. The time has come wherein the storms of hell will bash against the house called America. Put away your fears, for that which has been written shall be fulfilled. Put away your anxiety, for the times ahead shall cause your heart to melt if you are unprepared. If the footmen have wearied you, what will you do in the day of the galloping chariot horses? I tell you this night to put away a sorrowful heart and let the dead bury the dead and let the world who loves itself take care of itself. I tell you this night that I have devised a plan that no man could have ever known, a plan to release my people around the world. I am liberating the spirits of the saints and causing them to go forth out of the house of bondage. Why is it that you could read my book and see how I brought 10 plagues upon the nation of Egypt and even destroyed their firstborn? But you cannot fathom that I would bring disaster upon a nation that has opened the door to a culture of death. Why will you not take note of the righteous judgment of God that even the angels declare is just and right? Why will you accept the political battle between life and death and allow evil satanic videos to be seen over and over again and then weep when that which has been sown is reaped? Tell the nation to repent. Tell the legislators to repent. Tell the lawmakers and judges to repent, for they have opened the door to the flood of iniquity that runs rampant through your streets. Tell the nation that I have trumpeted. Tell the nations that I have piped. Tell the nation that I have wept, yet to no avail. Still, the leaders of America secretly plot against the Lord and his righteous ones in the earth, and many have and will continue to fall into the trap that has been set. Yet I will lead my elect out and through this moment that comes. Yes, I have called you, but you would not listen, O nation deeply desired. When the enemy sought to sift you, I prayed for your faith, but you would not repent. You have refused to turn unto me, even when I said, if my people, now your calamity comes. And as it is written in my word, I will mock you when your calamity comes. The blood of the innocents has been shed within your nation for 33 years. Again, this was written back in 2006, 2007. And I wept for each one. And now that the children are being destroyed, you weep. You open the door to abortion and murder and rape and lust and degradation, and you legalize the abomination that brings desolation, then cry when trouble comes. Truly, you are the sister of your adulterous older one who played the harlot. And you too, America, have played the harlot, and all your lovers are turning against you. And you weep? No. Tell the nation to weep not, neither mourn for the destruction that comes upon it. Instead, be ready to go out. Be ready to go through. Be ready to witness the inevitable destruction that is coming stronger and stronger with each cycle. Many will seek to psychologically deal with the issues and will not be able. Many will seek vengeance and revenge, yet without success. I have asked for one thing, O great nation, that you would turn to me with all your heart and be one soul and one heart. But you are a house divided, and a house divided will fall. Out of the chaos I will bring my kingdom order, and I will establish my righteousness all over the world. Here the Lord is referring to his millennial reign. I am God, and I will not be mocked. Yet you have mocked me and have turned a deaf ear. Perhaps now your ears are beginning to open. Time is short, and many will awaken, too late to the reality that is coming upon the nation. For those who have awakened, I call you into a deeper conviction and separation from the things of the world. I call you to come out and be separated unto me. I have a plan to guide you through the horrific storm. Where is the spirit of Phinehas? Where are those who are willing to thrust through the heart of the beast? Where are the men who will tear the altars of Baal down? Where is Josiah? Where are they who will execute the judgment that has been written? Hollywood is the seat of the beast in America. Out of the serpent's mouth came forth a flood to sweep the woman away. A flood of iniquity flows through the streets of America. And then after reading these words 2 days ago, Sunday at our church, last night, Monday, those two videos came to me about the 90-year-old Norwegian woman who described to a T the events that are going on right now before the Third World War. And then another woman from Servant's Heart said that yesterday all she heard was death, 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 persecution, persecution, gather together. You know, we are the most we're not the sharpest tool in the shed. The 90-year-old Norwegian woman, the Servant's Heart gal, myself, Dimitri Dudeman, I've watched these men. David Wilkerson. We're not the sharpest tools. We're, in fact, probably the least expected to be of any use to the Lord. to look at us, there's nothing. But I hear a consistent sound of the Holy Spirit. And for over a year, we're coming up on a year, I have been prophesying of this beautiful acceleration in the kingdom of God for God's people who have entered into the kingdom where God was going to accelerate his purpose. And there has been a real blessing in doing that. But I've maintained, and I told our church on Sunday, you're not going to come to New Wine Ministries and hear an imbalanced message about, you know, the blessing of, and there are some really awesome things that are happening in people's lives sincerely at the church. And we're not looking at the numbers. We're not looking at that. We're looking at the quality that is developing in individual people's lives. God will bring the numbers when he's ready. But right now, we're seeing miraculous things, and we are a beautiful, beautiful congregation of saints who have gone through many trials and are standing together and are becoming unified. And we're rejoicing at the blessing that God is sending in our direction, but we are aware of what's going on in this world. And so, quiet before the storm, these words are coming. Then we wake up this morning, terrorism, reviving. It's coming. It's coming. It's waiting. God has given opportunity. We're still murdering babies. There are still policies being produced to further the transgender, homosexual, lesbian agenda. There's a lot of chatter. There's a lot of turmoil. There's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of infighting. There's a lot of politics, a lot of Antifa. And all of these things are exactly the ripe atmosphere from the Islamic perspective of Ahmadinejad, who believed it was his destiny to stir as much turmoil and chaos, because out of the turmoil and chaos would come the Mahdi, the Islamic Antichrist. But it is also a foreknowledge in the mind of God that this turmoil would be a purposeful turmoil to bring about the collapse of the United States of America. Dmitry Dudeman brought that forward. Now Antifa and these young people who have been taken over by the darkness are begging for the collapse of the United States of America. We're Americans, by the millions, have had their minds taken over to believe in globalization. And yet we know from a biblical perspective, globalization means 3.5 years of great tribulation against the saints of God, because who's going to lead the global community? The Antichrist. And you go to Europe, London today, it's so interesting that as people are being mowed down, killed, acid being thrown on them, shot, murdered, raped, tortured by Muslims, the leaders are Islamic. The police people are Islamic. Islam has infiltrated Europe. Islam is infiltrating the United States. There's already been two major pushes for different politicians of Islamic Muslim backgrounds to come and reign, rule in the United States. And they're engaged in close battles. Truly, the American population are fatted calves ready to be slaughtered. The vivacious appetite of the adversary in the global community against the United States. And now a president who is being touted because he says things like, I'm so glad that he fired that dog. Speaking of Omarosa, you see, he added fuel to the fire, called her a dog. He calls people names that are provocative and the world hears it. And what the world says is, look at this guy. He's a racist. He tells all these black people that they are unintelligent. He calls Omarosa a dog. And so the world community plays on this. The left plays on this. They love this. And the world looks at it. And the demonic spiritual atmosphere that is supercharged begins to move in the minds of the masses. And somebody's leading the beat. Christians are hanging on by a thread, not knowing how deep their corruption is. And I refer to the Apostle Peter, who said, Lord, I'll go with you unto death. And Jesus said, you're going to deny me 3 times, Peter, before the cock crows. He didn't know what was in his heart. I don't think Judas knew the depth of depravity within him, that he was going to be the one that was written by King David in the Psalms who was going to betray the Lord. People in the church who have not heard the Word of God in its penetrating potency, in its powerful administration to break up and to reveal wickedness at the root. Our churches are filled with that. When's the last time you've been convicted by the Word of God? When is the last time that God's light shined in your heart to show you you? Like it did the Apostle Paul when he said, I am rotten to the core, when the light of Christ shined in his heart. When have you considered the fact that maybe your thoughts were demonically orchestrated? That maybe a generational bloodline curse was operating in down in the deep of your existence? Oh, the woman, the 90-year-old Norwegian woman, made it clear. The church is not ready. It is Laodicean in nature. It says we have everything. It says we need nothing. We've got it all, but they didn't know their condition. The Laodicean church, as recorded in the book of Revelation, had no idea that it was miserable, blind, naked, corrupt, and defiled. And that's the way it is. And this is what this 90-year-old woman said. And she also said that the exchange of nuclear weapons in World War III would be very swift. It's not going to be a long, drawn-out war. It's going to be atomic bombs. She knew that in 1968, at 90 years old. These words have been spoken over and over and over and over again. And yet God, in the silver lining of all these messages, God continues to tell the uncompromisingly righteous, I have a way for you to go. I'm going to prosper you and make sure that you have plenty in the midst of famine. I'm going to take care of you. 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It will not come nigh you. I have the preserving power to take care of those who have honored and loved me with their whole lives. And for those martyrs who will die, I have a plan for them too, that they're going to rule and reign for 1,000 years in my kingdom and then go into eternal bliss in the eternal eighth day of Enoch. Yes, it is a turmoilous time in those moments of peace, those calm moments before the storm. Those quiet moments are so precious. And I want to give thanks to God publicly that he took me 23 days ago to the side of a mountain to show me deep issues in my own heart that I was never able to fully comprehend or grasp what was going on deep down inside. And I want to thank God that he saved my life 23 days ago, because I'm telling you that I was holding onto a side of a mountain with a cliff you could not see the bottom with one hand. There's no way with a 40-pound pack on my back that I could have done that. I was exhausted. God held me. And every time I began to slip just a little bit of a muscle twitch, and that feeling of losing control and sliding down that 200-yard vertical drop into the rocks, I would just remember when I began to slip and say, no, 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 no. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that there are many Christians hanging on by a thread right now. And they don't know how to get out of the situation that they're in. And I'm telling you, it is time to cry out to God if you are really his, because God is saying, I'm not playing games anymore. I am not playing games with anybody. I am no respecter of persons. And either you're all in or you're out. I'm not taking the 99.9% of your heart. It's not good enough. I am getting it all, or I don't want any of it. I'm telling you, this is the word of God. 99.999% surrender is not enough. And sin remains an abomination to God. All sin is abomination to God. To treat sin lightly at all is an offense to a God who died and shed his blood so that we don't have to sin. All sin is an abomination to God. And we have treated sin lightly and have told the sinners that they can continue to sin because grace will continue to abound. When the apostle said, "Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" All sin is a offense. And yet we have sinned with our attitudes, our conduct, our words. We have allowed degradation, defilement, depravity to remain in our thinking mechanisms of the conscience, the subconscious. We've never even gone down to find out what programs are running down there. And I'm telling you that it is a serious moment that what that woman said yesterday, when God told her, all I heard was death, death, death. Death and persecution. Much death is coming to the shores of America and around the world. And then the confirming word, 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. Are you ready? Are you working out your salvation? It is very, very, very late. And this program is not designed to entertain anybody. We're not here to keep up with the Joneses. We're here because a year or so ago, God told me to put a 24/7 radio station on the air. We are not perfect. We go through lots of little things. We do the best we can. But when I get to these moments, I realize this is why we're on the air. To tell you that you are not merrily, merrily in a boat floating down a stream, that's life. No, there is a massive cliff. There is a Niagara Falls just ahead for this nation and the people in this nation. Just like the Titanic struck an iceberg and many people died. Many people died in 9/11, 2001. But the rage of death that is now prescribed for this nation, it's consistent with the Bible. It's written in the Word of God. And how do you know or I know that we're exempt? We don't. But every moment we have, we need to just get this right. I'm telling you, it's a fearful moment in the godliest sense. And I warn you to start taking serious every warning you're going to start hearing. It's all crescendoing. Cannot say in the last 17 years since 9/11, 2001, everything's been the same. No, it hasn't. You know it hasn't. I know it hasn't. So the prophetic words have been fulfilled. The false prophets are saying there's no judgment. They're telling everybody it's going to be okay. The true prophets of God are telling the truth, and we see it all around us. You cannot afford to be caught like the Israelis on Mount Carmel with Elijah the prophet saying the truth and the false prophets of Jezebel and Baal having mesmerized the people. They don't know. They don't have a clue what's going on. You can't be there. You're going to have to make a decision. And I would tell you to read your Bible from Genesis to Revelation and then make a choice of where you think we are as a nation and this world. We are on the brink of nuclear destruction. And it's just a heartbeat away. It's a trigger point away. Nobody would have imagined on 9/11, 2001. That we would have seen such carnage and death. Now, what you and I do with our time is entirely up to us. It's entirely up to us. And I guess that's where I'm going to leave it for right now. But I will leave you once again with just the thoughts of this simple, simple woman that really something to say yesterday. So here she is. Patricia Joy Xavier's up next.
And you can pray about it, pray over it. Okay, all day long, this is a now word. All day long, I've been hearing death, death, death. That's all I've heard all day long. It just came into my spirit. Finally, around 2:00 today, give or take a few minutes, I heard death. Death and persecution at the door. Okay, death and persecution at the door then. I then heard the Spirit say, tell my children, I'm going to read this, tell my children, gather round, don't delay. Meditate and set your sights on me, your Lord, your Savior. Don't forsake coming together. Now, that was emphasized, don't forsake yourself coming together now before your freedoms are taken from you. And then I heard the Lord say, death is coming and has now come, my people, and to the children. So death is coming to us, or some of us, and to the children. Persecution is at the door for the United States. It will not be a false flag, that was emphasized. There will be no actors. Many will face prisons, thrown underground in tunnels, and chained inside boxcars. Families will be separated. Men, women, children. Gather now together while you can. Help each other. Darkness will soon fall. And actually, he's also here talking about...
Hello, hello, hello. Well, we are in question. And what is the question? The question is, are we in the end times or are we not? Do we understand Scripture and its depth of presenting what the end times will be like? You heard Pastor Vincent earlier in the program saying, we are there, and there is judgment hitting our land and our world. But others are saying, no, we're not. It's going to be the best time ever. So what is the truth? The only thing we could do is start looking at Scripture. And I want to do that with you today. I want to look at Scripture, read it to you, and then decisions must be made in your mind, spirit, and soul as to where we are for the times we're in. Are we in the end times or not? Let's look at Matthew 24, 6 and 7. It says it this way. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All right, let's take a look at that scripture alone. Have nations risen against nations? Are we seeing that in a clear way today? Has it happened in the past? Yes, it has. But has it happened in the grand way of worldliness that it is now? In other words, nation is rising against nation all over the world. Not just in specific places when the scriptures were written, but all over the world. And kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines. Well, you may say there's always been famines. Yes, there has. But this is speaking of in a relationship along with earthquakes and various changes of weather patterns. Let's look at Luke 21, 10 and 11. Then he said unto them, speaking of the Lord, nation will rise up against nation. Yes, we see that. And kingdom against kingdom. Yes, we see that. The dark kingdom against the light and bright kingdom of God. There will be great earthquakes. We have witnessed that. We're in Indonesia and in other areas of the Central America, great earthquakes have taken place, Haiti and more, and they haven't stopped. And in various places, famines and pestilences. And what are we know what famine is, but what is pestilence? Pestilence are infections, viruses of every kind imaginable that can't be dealt with, that go beyond the ability to use any kind of medication to help. And nations will be flooded with it. And we have seen this in the bird flu, and we've seen this in others throughout the world, but it seems to cease and then come back, cease and come back. And there will be terrors. The word terrors is exactly what it says, as we see in terrorists, and great signs from heaven. The moon will turn red. We have seen this. It is showing itself year after year after year, and it's coming in an abundance of movements and stars and other cosmos is proving the work of Scripture to be absolutely true. Amos 8, 11 and 12 says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro and to seek the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it." What is that saying? It's saying that there will be the word of God ministered and preached with a watered down message that has no power to change a person's life, to continue them in their born again experience, to cause them and help them to become overcomers, to find their position in the kingdom of God where their destiny is being fulfilled. It will be just a nice word of God's love, which it is, but no power to change them. Multitudes of churches are that way. Programs are their usage, bringing people in. And the word is precious and loving, but it has not a two-edged sword to bring change within people's hearts to the place where they become, as I said earlier, the overcomers of God. Overcoming the world, the devil, and the flesh. People don't want to hear the truth anymore. They want to twist it. That's called a Leviathan spirit. He is a twister. Twist the word of what is true and what isn't true. Deception is great. They don't want to hear the truth. You heard that from Pastor Vincent earlier. They mock the truth. We have come to that in a greater capacity than it has ever been known before. It is worldwide. 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." This is happening today in churches all over the world. Few are coming forth with the power of the Holy Spirit to bring change to their lives. And they're listening to the unbelievable word that is watered down, and they wander off into myths, meaning that they go into New Age and various other areas that will not save their souls. In some cases, Satanism. In other cases, witchcraft. It's happening everywhere, body of Christ. Let's look at Revelation 22, 18 through 19. It says, I warn everyone who hears the word of the prophecy of this book, meaning the book of Revelation, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of the prophecy, God, this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. People are afraid to teach and minister on the book of Revelation because of this scripture. But if you have the Holy Spirit, blessed are you to do so, according to the word written in the book of Revelation. So the Holy Spirit is the necessity for today to know truth, to hear truth in your life, to understand what is false and what is true, what is deceptive and what is not deceptive. There are many false teachers in the last days. The scriptures say so. Let's look at 2 Peter 2, 1 through 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, preaching peace and safety. I added that. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. They will add things metaphysical to their teaching. And I see it even now in California and various other areas. It's growing fast. And you have to know the truth to understand the difference. If you are not aware of the depths of the power of deception and how deep it can go, and if you have not the Holy Spirit operating in your life, you won't know the difference and you'll be pulled in. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And where is that word? That word is in Scripture. That word is in the mouth of God in Scripture. The word is in Scripture. It was spoken and it was recorded. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Every scripture passage is inspired by God. All of them are useful for teaching, pointing out errors, correcting people, and training them for a life that has God's approval. They equip God's servants so that they are completely prepared to do good things. But you must have the Holy Spirit to help you to understand the depths of the glorious word of truth. The Lord will never forsake his children. It says so in Psalms 37, 18 through 20. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. They are not put to shame in evil times. In the days of famine, they have abundance. Hear that? Who are these people? The Lord knows who they are. They are the blameless. Why are they blameless? Because they have been purified by the blood of Jesus Christ in believing on him for his sacrifice on the cross to take away our sins. Purification. So in the days of famine, they have abundance. But the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke. They vanish away. Psalms 33, 18 through 20. Behold, the eyes of the Lord is on those who fear him. Does it mean to be afraid of him? No, it means to know his awesomeness, that you wouldn't want to turn away, that you would understand that there is a work on the earth that is of darkness and you would stay in the arms of safety. Behold, the eyes of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who know how awesome he is, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in the time of famine. It's our hope. The word of God is our hope. Should we turn away from it and look in another direction for understanding, for wisdom, when you have it in the word, into the point of depth that is so unbelievably, incredibly truthful that there is nothing but light pouring out from it? Most people who profess Jesus as Lord will burn in hell. Why? Why? Look at Matthew 7:21-23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the person who does my Father in heaven what my Father in heaven wants them to do. You heard Pastor Vincent saying that before he was off the radio program. Many will say to me on that day, going back to the scripture, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we force out demons and do many miracles by the power and authority of your name? Then I will tell them publicly, I've never known you. Get away from me, you evil people. Yeah, they use the power to do exploits, but their hearts were never rendered to overcome their sin nature. Sin was still within them. It need not be that way, people of God. You are either an overcomer or you're not. What are you overcoming? May I say it again for the 100th time? The world in its darkness, the flesh meaning sin, and the devil meaning your enemy. You overcome it by the blood of the Lamb, by believing in what was done on the cross for you and I. Genesis 45:11 is an example. It says, there I will provide for you, for there are yet 5 years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have do not come to poverty. Do you want that promise in your life? 2 Samuel 24:13. So Gad came to David and told him and said to him, shall 3 years of famine come to you in your land? Or will you flee 3 months before your foes while they pursue you? Or shall there be 3 days pestilence in your land? Now consider and decide what answer I shall return to him who sent me. Here is the answer. Now there was a famine in the land. So Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. There was salvation there. He was told where to go and how to go. And so I tell you today, the same is true for you. Look at Acts 11:27-30. Now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, every one according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. It wasn't government who did it, who took care of their needs. It was the body of Christ. The government was already under scrutiny. It had not they in mind whatsoever. But the body of Christ together did it. You see, there is hope for us as Christians in the days of famine. Another great hope is to give your tithe and your offering, because in doing so, there is a promise that you will be kept in the days of famine. The promises are many, but we have to adhere to those promises. Are we willing to do so? Are we desiring to walk this walk in the way God called us to do? Sometimes we have to gather together and come under a final thought. And that thought is judgment in the true and living way. To judge everything according to the perfect word of God, but by the Holy Spirit, so one doesn't argue against the other what is true about that word. And so scriptures are available to us. Look at Luke 4:39. We are told that Jesus rebuked the fever. He treated a fever as a personality. This indicates that the fever was demonic. We have been given power through the Holy Spirit over famine, over devils, over the world's ways, which would be famine, over sickness and disease, which would be a fever. And a second instance of laying on of hands is for people who need deliverance. And this is the case of the woman who was bowed down by a spirit of infirmity. What is a spirit of infirmity? A spirit of infirmity is sickness and disease of a kind. Again, we read in Luke 13:11-13, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Through the Holy Spirit, you have the same power. You have the power to be taken care of by the Holy Spirit in the time of famine. You have the power to overcome the world, earthquakes, change in weather patterns, but you must gather together in one mind of truth. You have power to overcome the devil because he brings sickness and disease into one's life through your own mental anguish. It's an open door. It's sin. And he comes in, and he'll bring in a generational bloodline curse from four generations down if it hasn't been dealt with. That is a period of 160 years. Easy. But he has given you power over that too. To overcome him, the devil, and sickness and disease by laying your hands upon him. And he overcame on the cross Jesus Christ that we may sin no more and open no more doors and walk in the power to cast out devils, heal the sick, be definitely taken care of and led by the Holy Spirit no matter what the circumstances. So when he said, woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity, he laid hands on her and immediately she was made straight and she started to glorify God. Why? Because the power came from him and no other. Sometimes we simply speak to the devils without touching the person and command them to come out. Then other times, we have been led to assist the person during deliverance to cast out of themselves the demonic presence in the name of Jesus. For instance, if you had a lying spirit and you just can't stop that lying in you and don't tell me about little white lies, they're all the same, then you have bondage. You cannot overcome it. You need of lying. Satan is the great liar. He is the great deceiver. He lies. There's not even 1 ounce of truth in him. But he is so clever and so deceptive that he could make anything sound like truth that is not. And you see it on the programs, on the news, with their vernacular every day. And you wonder what is true and what is not. But with the Holy Spirit, you know. Other times we have been led to assist a person during deliverance to cast out of themselves. And I told you that that works beautifully. And that they can do it. They have a lying spirit. They can say, thou foul lying spirit, that demonic spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to loose me and set me free. Be gone from me. Go to the dry place and bother me no more. And Holy Spirit of God, fill my heart in that space that has been emptied. So when he comes back, liar comes back, he cannot come into me anymore. My mind, my soul has been cleansed, made whole, strong by the Holy Spirit's work to fill me with truth and faith. We have experienced times when the Holy Spirit moved as he willed. The Holy Spirit is glorious, leaving us on the sidelines with our mouths wide open because we gave him room and opportunity. We did not grieve him in any way that he would turn, but kept him in our heart, knowing that he has been given unto us. He is the Spirit of the Father. He is the Spirit of wisdom. He is the Spirit of knowledge. He is the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of understanding of truth. He is the Spirit of healing. He is the Spirit of power. He is the Spirit of guidance. He is the Spirit of magnificent power. I was once among a group of praying women, and I was led to cast out a particular devil of torment. And let me tell you why a spirit of torment would come upon any of us. It's because of fear. Once we receive fear, because God does not give a spirit of fear, he gives a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Once we have received our spirit, our mind, our soul, once that has happened, we will be tormented from the evil one. But the devil of torment was in a group from a woman. And when, to my surprise, there was a loud shriek from another woman, the woman was violently thrown to the floor and lay there before me. I immediately commanded the devil to come out of her and flee from our presence in the name of Jesus. They did. But I want you to know, this taught me a powerful lesson. When you are commanding a devil to come out of a person while in the presence of a group, you may be speaking to more than one devil and to more than one situation of demonic trespassing. There are more things to learn about deliverance. If you want to know anything more, you could email me at patriciajoyxavier@gmail.com, or you can purchase my book at Amazon, Deliverance, The Christian Bill of Rights, Patricia Joy. Have a great day. God bless you. Until we talk tomorrow.